Hi, I'm Koi Jandro with The Real Rejects. I am sitting down with the Newton Brothers, the composers of X-Men 97, as well as a bunch of other stuff you might love. I love both your backgrounds. I'm such a sucker for like people Zoom setups post-2020 to like see into the homes of creatives.
Mine's just a green screen. I'm actually on the beach in Hawaii right now.
You actually don't play instruments. You're like, this just looks good for the brand.
Yeah, there's no instruments. This is all fake. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to dive right in. I really appreciate what you guys have done for this property. This might be the most iconic sound in Marvel. And it's insane to think about that. Like, Marvel's become this force. But when you think of Marvel, X-Men has maybe the most iconic sound design. What was it like for the pair of you to come into something that already has so much behind it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big jump, you know, like not a big jump, but it's just like there's a lot to take on. And I think that like from the get-go, it starts with terror, and then that terror like moves into excitement, and then the excitement yields more terror, and the terror fuels like more exploration, and all of those things come together, I think, in a very like fruitful way that sort of yield where we landed with just this sort of like, you know, there's so many things from, you know, 8-bit to shredding guitars to orchestra and choir to analog synths, plug-in synths, digital synths. It's just like everything. And that was sort of a tricky process, because usually a film or a TV show is like a sound, and you get the sound and it's like, okay, we're featuring like a cellist within an orchestra and a bass synthesizer and then some other things. Like, and it's like, that's the palette and go. This is just like everything, literally everything, all the time. And it's like, if at any moment, like we were, you know, you can never get stale, because the story's not stale, the animation's not stale. So for us, it was about, I mean, it's partially why I have my setup the way I have it set up. So it's just like, I don't have to set something up to go for a new sound. It's just like, what happens while I'm sitting here on the phone playing that, like, oh, that's a sound, I should use that and that. And it all sort of comes together in what you have, you know, heard in these first four episodes.
And you mentioned terror, and I love your work with one of my favorite voices in terror, Flanagan. I see a Dr. Sleep in the background. You guys work with Flanagan a lot in the genre content space of horror, but also in the genre content space of comic books. You did work on Avengers, and I got to know, is there love for comics to you personally that you're bringing to this world of X-Men?
I mean, I got into comics from the actual original series. So I actually didn't get into, I didn't, yeah, I started out, so the original show got me into comics, which is funny because it's reverse for Andy. And I just, because I wanted to know more, I was starting to dive deep, because the show ended and I was like, well, now what? And then I started to just get more into these characters. And then I just started to fall in love with that. And it led to more characters like Daredevil and all these other kind of MCU characters. And that's kind of how it started for us, or at least for me. And Andy, when did you get into comics? What year was that?
Yeah, mine was the very first comic I was into was ElfQuest. And then I got into the first episode of X-Factor before X-Men. Episode one of X-Factor came out and I was like, this is amazing. But there was a lot of backstory that I didn't know or understand, but it was just in for like the X-Factor story. And then I started exploring X-Men, and then it was just like a whole world. And then from there, when the show came out, it was like, awesome, I don't have to read anymore. Let's watch the TV series. Like, so that was sort of my progression into it.
I love the Ouroboros of the X-Men animated series leading to Infinity War, leading to X-Men again for one of you, and for the other, the X-Factor being the thing that they made to have the original fans feel like they got the team and then go into X-Men. You both have different circles of comic, and that's the magic of comics. Speaking of circles and that progression, the soundtrack to this has this amazing crescendo, but there's also this kind of loop to it. And I've always heard the different instruments kind of building in my head as different X-Men teaming up. To me, it's this sound represents an X-Man, this one, and then it comes to that crescendo, and the visual looks like that as well. Are there certain sounds that you cue for a certain X-Men? Do you have like a favorite X-Men that sounds like blank to you?
Ooh, good question. Yeah. What do you think, Taylor? What would that?
I think, I agree with you though, definitely with the theme song. I think that is the sort of like the team coming together, whoever is the team, whoever's around, because you know, things are always changing, things are always happening. So it's more of like the icon, it's the theme of the X-Men coming to fight or to win or, you know, for humanity or whatever it may be. And I think we ended up using definitely certain motifs and in some cases sounds that turn into themes for certain characters. Like we use like some bending metal for Magneto that would, you'd hear a little bit of it. And then all of a sudden his theme would start. And so we did some things, but not so much from the point of the theme song into the show. Yeah, but it's a great idea though.
I also love that you played around with the score and made it your own. Like you, there's reverence for the score, but you've clearly modified and enhanced. And I love when you sneak in pieces of composition to other scenes that are really subtle. And then this week in particular was a little less subtle, which I enjoyed. The 16-bitification of the sound design and the 8-bitification of the sound design. What was it like to play with someone else's composure and then to make it your own, but using old school sound design? We talked in a little at the beginning, but like, what tools did you use to make that 8-bit?
I mean, we used the tools that we would normally get fired for using in that episode. Like, it was all the things that, like, the sounds that are really fun, like the 8-bit, all of that. Like, to be able to use those things and, like, play the main title with, like, it was almost, like, hilarious. I remember the first time we were working on, like, the little bit where the main theme plays, like, you know, and it plays real fast and kind of, like, it was like, oh, wow. That feels really fun, but are we like, is this wrong? Like, you know, and then everyone's reaction when we played it for everyone was just, everyone was really pumped on it. Cause it just, it takes you back. Like, you know, we deep dove sort of back into the games that we used to play. And it's like, oh, those games are as if you've just slammed a Red Bull and a Celsius. And you're just like, the music is just very like, it's strangely that not strangely, that music is really well written for those video games back in the day, but it's also like, it's like on speed, you know, everything's moving real quick. So for this episode, it was like, let's cram a lot of writing and 8-bit interesting sounds into this whole score and use a lot of weird sounds and bebops and boobops that we can usually not use. So it was a lot of fun.
I work with the Bleeding Fingers guys over at Hans Zimmer, and they play with really inordinate machines and instruments, and they've got like the craziest things they just make sound of. And they always talk about translating the visual to a sound. And that's always been like alchemy to me. Like you guys making music, I can't even read it, much less just make a sound. When you have a visual medium like an animated series or a comic, how does that translate from like, I see this, now let's make this, I know I have these things at my disposal, and then reaching outside of the normal things? How do you translate? What's the math for you?
I think what works well is having a good, already some a good pieces and a good palette of sound that's working well for the characters. So early on, you just tackle the characters based off script, or in this case, also early animatics, and obviously conversations with the creatives and the showrunner, and you sort of figure out what it is that character is and that sound or the team is. And then from there, you can start sprinkling extra things or unique sounds that might be odd or not heard before, or that's accustomed to that particular character. And then when you get to a sequence like the video game episode, then like, cool, now you have something you can work with. You have the Magneto theme that's in that episode. And then now we're doing an 8-bit version of that. So we can take all the, you know, the notes and the melodies and run it through things. And so I think it allows a good building blocks to start. And that's kind of how we approach it.
Well, it is a magic, magic show. You may have gotten to play with the most nostalgic sound of all time and enhanced and made it your own. So I really, really appreciate all the work you've done. And I love to know that you love these characters as much as we do, and it shows. So thank you so much, guys.
Oh, thank you, Toy. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Have a great one, guys. Keep up the great work.
Right. Thanks a lot. Cheers.